The Defense Department cuts $37 billion in 7 months during the sequester in 2013. The Pentagon says in some cases, automatic budget cuts cost DOD more money in the long run than it saved. But the Government Accountability Office says the Pentagon could do more to learn from the past so it doesn't repeat the same mistakes if sequestration happens again. Joanna Ayers is Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Joanna, thanks for coming on the program today. What did you look at specifically as far as how the Defense Department is collecting information and lessons learned about the sequester in 2013? Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, well, certainly. It is my pleasure to be with you and your listeners. As you know, GAO has issued several reports examining how federal agencies and the Department of Defense prepared for and implemented sequestration in 2013. But one of the things we noted in those prior reports is that understanding the full effects of sequestration would take some time to allow for those effects to mature and to present themselves. So what the Congressional Defense Committee's asked us to do is, now given the passage of time, to go in and look at what those effects have been on programs and military readiness, and also to understand what actions the Department of Defense took to mitigate those effects.
You categorize them in three different areas in this work. One of them is costs and spending, another is time frames or cancellations, and the third is availability of forces and equipment, and that is translated most often, it sounds like to me, as readiness. Let's talk about the first one first, the costs and spending areas. You identified some places that the savings that it looked like the Defense Department was getting, or that they actually realized in 2013, long-term, wound up not being really that great, or in fact costing more than were saved. Are there examples of that that you can cite for us?
Yes, we identified a number of examples across all of the military services in which the decision to reduce funding in certain areas resulted in increased costs. For example, when the Navy decided to delay the deployment of the Truman Carrier Strike Group for 4 months to implement the sequestration reductions, the Navy actually found that it had an overall increase in operational costs in that year of $7.6
million. Go ahead. Sorry, Joanna.
So there were also instances, for example, with the F-15 program where delays in the production of software and the ability to deliver that software to a contractor has also resulted in increased costs of about $4.2 million.
The software example is interesting to me, too, because I think the perception, at least as I recall it, around the time of sequester was that the primary driver was going to be for the Big Bang weapons systems. And I'm not sure that people really thought about the unintended consequences of problems with issues like software, Joanna.
That's exactly right. One of the things that we found in terms of lessons learned from the sequestration experience and talking to officials with the services is that in some cases, as they made the decisions about what to reduce, they didn't necessarily think through what the relationships between cuts in one area would have on a program that maybe seemed unrelated, and also that there might be some unintended consequences, such as some of these cost growth.
How were you able to discern that it was a possibility that all of these implications weren't thought through, or maybe that they were thought through and there just weren't any other better choices that they could make to be able to make these cuts, given that they were doing essentially a year's worth of sequester cuts in, I believe, 6 or 7 months?
That's right. The ability of the services to decide where they could make cuts and what flexibilities they had depended on the types of monies that were being used. So with monies that were funded by the operation and maintenance accounts, for example, there were some flexibilities that the services had in deciding kind of where they would put those cuts. But, for example, on the procurement and research and development accounts, programs funded by that, there was less flexibility in deciding which programs they would cut. So as we went through this effort, we really worked closely with officials in the services to help identify, you know, what of these effects that we're seeing could be directly attributed to sequestration, and what effects may not be directly attributable to sequestration, but rather kind of the normal course of cost growth or delays within programs.
I could see that being a very difficult and delicate determination process.
It was, and luckily I had a great team and great cooperation from defense officials to help us parse that out. I would say, though, in several cases, we were unable to quantify, for example, the costs associated with the sequestration reductions, and this is because some of the effects really cannot be captured monetarily. For example, Navy officials expressed concern about what the cancellation of joint international training programs would have on relations with our foreign allies. And, you know, that perception and the relationship is not something that can be put in dollars, but is obviously something very important.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify stature, no matter how good a team of auditors you have, Joanna. That seems like a stretch. You also write in this report about the effects of time frames and cancellations. You cite the Air Force canceling or reducing participation in training exercises as well, and then the impact that that will have on readiness. And as I said earlier, I translated, maybe I didn't do so correctly, you're welcome to correct me if it's the case, but I translated the term that you used, the phrase you used, availability of forces and equipment into readiness as well. The example that you cite, or one of them, is the Navy canceling or delaying some planned ship deployments, which resulted in a 10% decrease in deployed forces worldwide. But that's where I derive the concept of readiness from. Am I on the right track?
You are on the right track, though issues associated with the increased costs and spending also go to readiness in the sense that those funds, for example, that would have perhaps gone to maintenance of installations to buildings and structures on bases, those repairs had to be deferred because of sequestration reductions into subsequent years. So the facilities, for example, that soldiers and sailors and airmen need to train and be fully ready to meet their missions, perhaps their facilities were not up to the standards that we would have hoped they'd be at.
You note in this report that the Pentagon is collecting information about how they went about making the decisions and implementing sequestration in 2013, but you said you find them to be limited in scope, not widely shared, and the Pentagon's missing an opportunity to gain institutional knowledge that would facilitate future decision about making budgetary reductions. Is it fair for me to read into this, since you said budgetary reductions and not sequestration, that you would like to see that information gathered, not limited to sequester mechanisms, but available and applicable to all kinds of budget reductions that may or may not happen in the future?
You are correct there. While we were specifically looking at the effects of sequestration and the opportunity to learn lessons from that, the reality is that there may be cuts in the future that may not be under sequestration, but nevertheless, the department and the various components and programs need to be positioned to decide how it will handle cuts, regardless of whether or not they're sequestration or something else.
The recommendations that you make revolve around documenting and assessing these lessons learned and being able to share them more readily and more widely throughout the department. Do you have mechanisms in mind for them to do that, or are you simply recommending that it should be maybe a little higher on the priority list than it seems to be right now?
Well, luckily, the department already has some different mechanisms established for sharing lessons learned. And what we found, unfortunately, though, is that the limited efforts that they had done thus far looking at sequestration's lessons learned had not been shared through those existing mechanisms. And so what we asked them to do in this case is to expand their efforts to document the lessons learned and then ensure that those are being fully disseminated.